honor, and glory, to whom it's all due, and that is to our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and we all say, amen. Let's turn to a new study this morning, a new book. Turn to the book of, or the epistle of the Galatians by Paul the Apostle. This is a great, great study this morning. We're even though it's a short book, but listen carefully, this epistle is so powerful because when we study it out, you're going to find out it is not only powerful, but it is literally passionate. When I say that, we already know the heart of Paul from 2 Corinthians, amen? But his heart is revealed here as well, even not as much so revealed as it was in 2 Corinthians. But this is a passionate, incredible journey that we're going to take because there's not another concise statement, if you will, about the truth of the gospel in the entire Bible, and that is the gospel of grace. Not only that, it is the strongest declaration that we will find anywhere in and out of Scripture on the doctrine of the justification of faith. That includes Romans. This is an incredible defense of the doctrine of justification by faith. But this morning, as I talk to you about the truth of the gospel, listen carefully now. Paul, this is a different letter. Don't skip ahead. Really get into this book. It's incredible. You know, you'll find something different about the book of Galatians, and that is there's not one word of condemnation. In other words, he's not commending anyone. He's not giving anything about thanksgiving to them at all. Matter of fact, I don't even know if there's any names mentioned, but maybe Barnabas or maybe a couple others. This is a totally different. Paul doesn't even request prayer. It's a totally different study. Paul does something. Listen carefully now. Paul, in this epistle, you can see his heart for the defense of the gospel like never before. He comes out just like John Wayne or Rambo or whatever. Man, he's come out. He is ready to fight. He is ready to defend the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what I love about Paul, he does not then, and we should not today, practice the doctrine of tolerance. Do you understand? He didn't do that at all. Man, he comes out swinging. And if we could put a theme on this, it would be the truth of the gospel, or you could even have another theme, the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, the liberty, and so forth. But when Paul comes out here, he makes sure that everyone understands then and today there is only one gospel, there is only one Savior, and there's absolutely only one way to be saved in any generation. Amen? So this is a very, very important work. Matter of fact, Galatians gives every generation the answer to the question, what really makes a Christian? What really makes a believer? Paul answers it right here. In other words, is it faith plus works, or is it just faith alone in Christ Jesus? You know, that's something that you really need to think about this morning. And, you know, as we go through all of this study now, remember that the Bible tells us, matter of fact, four or five times throughout the Word of God. In Romans 1:17, it tells us that the just, that's us, those who have been justified by believing in Christ Jesus, that God has declared in that relationship, loved one, the just shall live by what? By faith. Luther called this great epistle this. Luther said, Galatians is my epistle. I have wedded myself to it. It is my wife. May we enter in with a true desire to hear God's word this morning, beginning in verse 1 about the truth of the gospel. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but, look who through, through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Thank God Jesus is alive. Amen. We were just singing that. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. There is no hope. We would still be in our sins this morning. But Paul says, listen, I'm an apostle. I am one sent. I'm commissioned to be sent, and it's not by man. Not any human channel. No one on earth has anything to do with me being sent. There's only one person. And that's to Jesus Christ. I met him on the Damascus Road, and he's the one who has called me. Matter of fact, that authority, let's look at what Jesus did there, and look at verse 11 with me. Verse 11, that's right, Galatians 1:11. But I make known to you, Paul says, brethren, that the gospel, the good news, the unmerited favor of God, the gospel of grace, which was preached by me, it was not according to man. Why? Well, I didn't receive it from man, the gospel. He says, nor was I taught it. In other words, no human being taught Paul. It didn't come from Peter, James, and John. He says, neither was I taught it. And look how this revelation came. It came through the teaching, if you will, of Jesus Christ personally to Paul. He called him. Man, what a word is that? So Paul starts out, I'm an apostle. Don't challenge my authority. That he comes out, like I said, like John Wayne. And then he goes, and all the brethren who are with me, unnamed, we don't know who he's speaking of. And then he says to the churches, plural, of Galatia. Now, those churches were founded on Paul's first missionary trip. That'd be Antioch and Derbe and Lystra, you know, Iconium and all the rest of them. So these churches here, he just says to the churches of Galatia, and he says, that's it. You'll notice, I hope you did, if you study out Paul's epistles, his greeting is unlike any other. I mean, he didn't, there was no warmth, there was no praise, there was no thanksgiving. He just immediately just says to the churches of Galatia, you study out Paul's epistles. Do you take Corinthians? We just finished 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Think about how Paul, I mean, how did he address when he first opened up to that divided, carnal, living like the world, suing one another, sexual sin going on, abusing the Lord's Supper, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, abusing all the gifts of the Spirit, questioning the resurrection. How did he address them? He said, the called of God, the sanctified in Christ. Boy, he didn't do that here. He did not do that at all. Now listen, why? Because there's no tolerance with Paul here. And there's a good reason why. Because the gospel of grace, the truth of the gospel, the unmerited, beautiful, unchanging grace of the living God is under attack by the Judaizers, meaning the Jews who professed to believe in Jesus, but I don't think they believed him at all. And they came along and said, you know what, after Paul left and founded these churches through the power of God, they came along and said, oh, well, wait a minute. Paul was a little bit off there. Matter of fact, you have to keep, it's Jesus, all right, but it's Jesus plus something else. You're going to have to keep circumcision and some of the rites of the Mosaic law and so forth. No, loved one, that's a bad thing to do. When we get over to chapter 5 and chapter 6, we're going to learn that that rite that they wanted practiced would be circumcision, okay? Now, and look at verse 3. He says, grace to you and peace from the world that you live in. No. You can only find grace, God's grace, and God's peace by being born again. Amen? Yeah, that they come from heaven, loved one, and they belong to us. They're realized, even this moment, God's grace and God's peace. Have you ever noticed that Paul the Apostle uses the word grace over and over and over in his epistles? He always opens with that word grace, God's unmerited, divine, unchanging, unearned, merited favor toward you and me. I am so thankful for that. Now let's get into the message. He says, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself, meaning he willingly laid down his life, he loves us of his own volition, who gave himself for our what? For the things, for that word sin, which will be paramount in our study this morning, the thing that enslaved us and enslaves every person that is ever born, and that is sin. It says that Jesus gave himself for our sins. Loved one, listen. Paul is saying right there to the church then and the church today, there's only one gospel, there is only one Savior who gave himself for our sins. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen carefully, that is the truth of the gospel, amen? And the truth is that we're so familiar with that, that we don't get excited. I'm gonna ask the Lord to give me 700 tambourines. And I'm going to put them underneath every chair at Calvary Chapel. We should be standing to our feet. We should be praising the living God because, loved one, listen, our sins have been paid for. Listen, no man, no woman, born of woman, can take away their sins. Do you understand? It's impossible. Not even the smallest, little, tiny sin. There's only one way to remove the wages of death. Remember Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But you have to receive the gift, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have to welcome Jesus Christ into your heart. Listen, God loves us so much. Romans 5:8, God proved or demonstrated his own love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? He died for us. He paid our sin debt. The Bible tells us in Titus 2:14, it says, Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem to us a special people, you know, redeem us from lawless deeds and create a special people that are zealous for good works. But he just didn't die for our sins only, did he? Remember that day at the Jordan, John standing there, and Jesus laid aside his carpenter's tools, probably there at the house of Joseph, and made his way down to the Jordan. And John looks at him as he's coming, and he says, oh, behold, he says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. Sin singular, meaning the whole mass of humanity's sin, from then until the very end. Do you understand? Jesus paid it all, and he paid it for you, and he paid it for me. I say, oh God, you are so wonderful. You're so good. He is God's only ordained sacrifice. There's not any other, only him. Now listen, thanks to Adam, you know this, I'm not teaching anything that you haven't heard, but thanks to Adam, every member of the human race, well, they're born a sinner, aren't they? They're born in sin. They're born a slave to sin, even though as they grow up lost, they believe themselves independent from that or free from that. They would say, no, I'm a good person. I work hard, do whatever I'm supposed to do. But listen, you know that's not the case. The fact is, though, the sins have been taken away. I'm so glad, and I celebrate this morning, loved one, as we begin a brand new epistle. 1 John 3:5, where it says, and we know that Jesus was manifested, made visible, his first coming, to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. He has taken away our sins. Now listen to me. We're getting ready to celebrate communion. You know, this Wednesday night, I always say that same scripture because it's so powerful. As far as our sins from, he has taken away our sins as far as the east is from the west. Loved one, they're gone. Listen to me. Jesus paid it all. Our sins no longer belong to us because Jesus bore them on the cross. Amen? And not only that, he suffered in our place. He took our place. He was as you on that tree. He died for us, loved one. And look at the purpose. It says that he might deliver us or rescue us or take us out of from this what? Present evil age. And in other words, in contrast to where we'll go one day, meaning in heaven. Let me read that again. That Jesus might deliver us, rescue us, take us out of from this present world, if you will, which is this evil age that we live in. One purpose of the good news of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the gospel of grace, the truth of the gospel of grace, one purpose is this, is to rescue us not from the material world that we live in, okay? That's not the purpose. But the purpose is to rescue us from this evil world that we live in. Remember the high priestly prayer of Jesus with his disciples. He prayed this in John 17:51. He says, oh, Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, God is faithful and the wicked one touches us not. Amen? He is a liar, the father of every lie. He was a murderer from the beginning. Listen, the Bible tells us very clearly, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Why? It is an evil world. Do you hear me? It is a wicked, evil world. Satan has blinded the minds of people that they would not believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ lest they be saved, loved one. Now listen, we've been rescued, and the moment we were rescued, guess what? We got a new passport. Heaven, the Philippians 3:20, we are citizens of heaven, amen? You know what we're doing right now? Just what that scripture says. We're just eagerly waiting for the Lord to come back for us. We're doing his will. We're his ambassadors right now. And not only that, the Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that he has rescued us or delivered us from the power of darkness, translated, conveyed us over into the kingdom of his Son. We no longer, this is not our home. We live in a world that's called this present evil age. That is the world that we live in. The Bible tells us, John the old apostle, he writes and he says, listen, he says, who is he who has overcome the world, meaning this present evil age that we live in? It is he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a glorious thing to know that, loved one. You know, the false teachers, what were they doing? They were leading the Galatians, the Christians, the churches. Man, they were leading them away from the freedom that they had in Christ. They were taking away their liberty, if you will, and they were taking them away from the truth of the gospel, the freedom, the grace that God had given unto them, and they were taking them into the bondage of the law. Look at it. It says, and not only that, it was according to the will of God and Father. It was God the Father who sent Jesus the Son. Amen? Jesus here, he did his will. He died for you. He died for me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, God wants to rescue that generation that we're studying, but he wants to rescue this generation. Amen? He wants to save everyone. And it says, you know, but when it talks about our will, you know, it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, it says, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, meaning born again. And he goes, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not by your own power. That's impossible. And he says, nor the will of man. He says, but they were born of God's will. They were born of the Lord. What a glorious word. And then Paul ends this little short introduction with an incredible doxology. He goes, to whom be glory or praise and honor forever and ever. Amen. You know, the more that a Christian truly understands the grace of God, the more he will glorify God. Oh, we need God's grace. I don't know about you. I need it every day of my life. Amen? You can't drive 820 without God's grace. It's an impossibility. You know what I mean? You got to have it because you have to repent when you get out of your car. Yeah. It's as if, you know, God's grace tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. Yeah, amen? And all unrighteousness. Well, I have to do that every time I pull into the office. Yeah. Oh, loved one, listen. The more you understand God's grace, the more you glorify God. It says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Well, who's going to give God the Lord and Jesus glory forever and ever? We are. We're going to do that. Listen to me. We've been redeemed, purchased out of, bought, if you will. We've been redeemed out of the ruined race of Adam. Man. When he sinned, boy, did he mess it up. He messed it up for every one of us. One day in heaven, you know what you're going to be doing? And I'm going to be doing? We're going to be doing it all together. When we arrive there one day, we're going to be singing a new song called the Song of the Redeemed. Let me just give you a little taste of it in Revelation 5:9. It says, and they, meaning the church that's in heaven after we're raptured out, it says, they sing a new song saying, oh, you are worthy, speaking to Jesus. You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. And the reason? For you were slain, meaning you went to the cross, you died for us, and you have redeemed us, purchased us to God. How? By your own blood, out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, and have made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign on the earth. Man, that's a millennial reign. We're going to reign with the Lord. What a glorious day that's going to be. Listen to this next song here, Revelation 5:11. John the apostle, he writes, oh, I looked, I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures, elders, the number of which, oh, there's 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands of thousands. In other words, you can't figure out how many people. And listen to what they were saying with a loud voice. You're going to say it. I'm going to say it. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, our Savior. Why? Oh, he was slain. He took our place on the cross. He died for us. It says to receive glory and honor and blessing. Now listen to this. And every creature in heaven, every creature on the earth, every creature under the earth, and as such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Listen to me. You will be there. I will be there. We will witness the entire worship of God, to our Lord, all creation. Everything that hath breath at that moment will be praising the Lord. Amen. That you talk about grace. Who would want to walk away from the incredible grace of God, the unmerited favor of God? Well, you know, whenever the false teachers then, the false teachers today, they'll take you where you don't want to go if you don't know the word of God. Amen. That's why Paul says in verse 6, look at it. He says, I can't believe what's happening here. He says, I marvel, man. I mean, I'm blown away. I'm dumbfounded. Why, Paul? That you, the church at Galatians, are turning away. That word means to desert. You're deserting, and look how quickly it happened. So soon, so readily. Paul says, that word means without any resistance at all. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him, meaning God. They're God deserters. They're walking away from the living God who called you in the grace, there's that word, the grace of Christ, meaning the finished work of Jesus. What when Jesus said, it is finished, man, it was finished. Amen? And look what they left and deserted God for. To a different gospel. A different gospel. There cannot be a different gospel because there's only one gospel, amen? So that is a false gospel. You know, Julius Caesar said about the Galatians, he said this, they are fickle, they're fond of change, and they're not to be trusted. Maybe so. Paul the Apostle said, you know what? I don't believe you. I mean, I don't even know what to say. How can you desert or turn away from the gospel of grace to the gospel of bondage? How can you start now participating in the gospel of legalism or the gospel of works or the gospel of human effort and walk away from the power of God, the one who's working in your life to conform you to Christ? That's what Paul is saying here. He says, man, you turn to a different gospel, and when you do, you know what? You find a different Jesus. Amen? Yes. You find a different grace. It's not grace at all. Now listen. There is only one good news, and it is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything else that false teachers teach concerning that, well, that's bad news. Now watch what he says. He says, who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, no gospel at all, but there are some. That word's very important. That's the false teachers, okay? There are some, and look what they do, who agitate you or they stir you up, they trouble you, and look what they desire. They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine anyone desiring to pervert, that word means to change into its opposite position, if you will, to change, to reverse it. I mean, think about that. That word pervert is the same word found in Acts 2:20 where it says a sun turned to darkness, or in James 4:9 where it says turning a laughter into mourning or whatnot. It's complete opposite. They've perverted the grace of God. Listen, God's grace can be rejected, but you can't change God's grace. Amen? You can't do it. No. Listen, the false teachers perverted and change the truth of the gospel into what? Into salvation by works. You have to work to earn it. You know, you're not saved by faith alone. No, listen. Why did they do that? Because they were teaching something that I hate to even let it come out of my mouth. They were teaching that Jesus Christ, well, he just wasn't enough. He wasn't really sufficient. In other words, the gospel of grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unconditional, unmerited, unchanging, divine favor of God, the gospel of Christ. It just wasn't enough to save you. In other words, you have to turn to something else. You have to turn to the gospel of legalism. You have to earn God's love. You have to earn God's forgiveness. You know what? That's what you need to do. Well, let me tell you something about the gospel of legalism. Legalism attempts the absolute impossible, okay? Because legalism says, you know what? If I do this, I have all these rules and I da-da-da-da-da, you know, I pray 5 hours a day and, you know, whatever. Well, then I can change myself. No, that's works. Works can't change you at all. Did you know that? We're saved for good works, okay? But works can't change you. No, loved one, listen, you can't earn God's love. You can't earn God's favor. It's a free gift, isn't it? But see, they were perverting all that. You know, legalism or rules, can rules change your nature? No, you have to be born from above. There can't be two gospels, one for grace, one for law. That's direct opposite. So the Galatian false teachers, they would preach legalism or works. In other words, you have to be circumcised to be saved. You have to do something. That only changes outer man. Doesn't change inner man. Now, the Bible says, as we'll learn later in Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom or the liberty, this grace that we have, by which Christ Jesus has made us free. Do not be entangled, that means to be made slaves again, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, meaning slavery to the law. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, if you do that, Christ will profit you nothing. He says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor now to keep the whole law. In other words, you want to live according to the law? You want as a means of being accepted to God? Okay, if you do, you better keep all the law. Amen? No one has kept the law. No one has been saved by keeping the law. No one can keep the law. Well, Bill, I haven't murdered anyone or committed adultery. Okay, you got a couple of them going for you. How about this one? Thou shalt not covet. You coveted that when you were born. You're out there playing as a little baby. You didn't even know you were coveting. You took the cookie from that little boy, shoved it into your mouth. Come on. Isn't that right? Yeah, and then you get older. You know, when you're young, you didn't, you know, bicycle, you covet, or maybe you started liking Corvettes, and you say, well, I've already blown it. Then you get old, and you really covet Corvettes. Yeah, no, listen, you can't do it. And he says, now listen, you've become, here it comes, estranged, severed from Christ. The reason? You who attempt to be justified by the law. For you have fallen from grace. Man, fallen out of the sphere of God's grace. Any attempt to be justified from the law or by the law moves a person away from the grace of God. You see, you say, well, you know, I'm trying to be good. I pray every day. I have a 30-minute prayer time. Well, the Lord bless you. You should have that. But, I mean, you're praying to God, don't you think it should be at least an hour? Do you understand? See, how much do you're saved by grace through faith, not by any works. You have nothing to brag about, loved one, and neither do I. And that's what Paul is teaching us here, right here. He says, you can't earn this free gift. That's the truth of the gospel. And he says this, but even if we, now Paul includes himself, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, than we have preached to you, let him be what? Imagine that. Paul says, let that person be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him be doomed to destruction. May he be ever severed from Christ forever. That is a powerful word. Let me read it again. Because Paul says, let me say it one more time. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, and let me just make it a little clear, anyone in Paul's day and anyone in our day and in any generation, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received or welcomed into your heart, let him be accursed. That's not the doctrine of tolerance, is it? You know, let me tell you something, loved one. Listen. The cults, they should tremble. They should tremble. I had one come to my door yesterday. What's today? Sunday. Yes, it was yesterday. And they had, I couldn't believe it. It said, "Love Never Fails," the conference. I caught my attention. I was trying to see it. I want you. I'm not taking that. But I was like, let me see the front of that. I said, "Love Never Fails. That's a great scripture." I said, "Are you?" And I called him. And he said, "Yes, we are." I said, "Bye. You're a cult. You don't believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God." Listen, they anathema, accursed. Do you understand? You're accursed, man. The cults, they have a zeal. Man, a zeal for error because the wicked one is right behind them. But they don't have a zeal for truth. They never do. Look at the false teachers then, the false teachers today. I'm going to tell you something. They should tremble. You know why? Because this is the strongest language found in the Bible. And it's reserved not for murderers, not for adulterers, not for fornicators or any of those things. It's reserved for those who preach another gospel. And if you preach something that is not the truth of the gospel, the grace of the living God, he says anathema. You're cursed. You're forever separated from Christ. Now listen, the test of the good news of Jesus Christ is not how popular a minister or a teacher is. Do you understand me? It's not about, I've written all these books or I'm on the radio station from all around the world. Praise the Lord, if you're teaching truth, that's great. But that's not the test, loved one. That's not it at all. Well, I have a 15,000 member church. Praise the Lord, but that's not the test, is it? No, listen, the test of the gospel is not how powerful a ministry is or how many mission programs that they have. None of those things. The test of the truth of the gospel is this. Are they preaching the true gospel of grace? That is it. That's why I encourage you to take your eyes off the messenger and put your eyes always and your ears on the message. Amen? You know, like I told the early service, I said, you guys, don't look at me. Listen to me. Write down what I say. Challenge. If you think I'm wrong, come just talk with me. You better not trust me. You better trust the Word of God. Amen? No, I'm serious. You need to know the Word of God. You need to trust the Word of God. Don't trust the messenger that's preaching. You trust the message. You discern whether it's God's Word or it's not God's Word. That's very, very, and I've been preaching that as long as you guys been here. And that's what I want you to do. Listen, God, the grace of God is so important to God. He says, don't you dare mess with my gospel of grace, or don't you dare pervert it. No, the false teachers, I tell you, there as they do today, they taught the gospel of grace in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension. It just wasn't enough. It wasn't sufficient to save a person. You had to have a little bit more. No different than the rich young ruler when he came up to the Lord and he says, "Oh Lord, what must I do to be saved?" Remember what scripture says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Or actually, Jesus said, "Well, you know, thou shalt not covet." Da, 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 go, oh, I've kept all of these from my youth up, Lord. You know, that's when Jesus looked at him and loved him. He said, "Oh yeah, I can tell." No. Loved one, listen. Many today, and I know, you know, they believe that salvation by faith. But I don't know that many believe today that salvation is by faith alone. You mean alone? Yeah. Well, what does that mean, Bill? It means that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, God says, "I'll save you if you really mean it." Amen? You can't, well, you know, well, water baptism, no. Water baptism is great. Yes, it's a commandment from our Lord, but you have to repent. You have to be born again first. Does that make sense? And the moment you're born again, you're sealed with the Spirit. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. As far as the east is from the west, you're a new creation. Now go get in the water. Does that make sense? Absolutely, loved one. Listen, salvation cannot be earned. Anything plus in Christianity, plus this plus Jesus, is religion. Remember what Paul writes in Romans 4:1. Let me read it to you. What then shall we say about Abraham, our father, meaning our forefather? What is he found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was declared righteous by the living God or justified by works, in other words, his own striving, his own labor, his own human merit, he has something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Say that with me. What does the Scripture say? That should be the cry of every Christian. Well, let me check the Bible. Let me find out what God's Word says, and then we can talk about it. Amen? He says, what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What in the world did Abraham believe? Well, I have to be circumcised. No, no, no. He was saved before circumcision. You remember? That was Genesis 16, when 16, no, 15. 15, 6. It was one there someplace. It was Genesis 15, 6. Remember what God did? God took Abraham out and said, oh, Abraham, look at all the stars. Can you number them? Well, no, I don't know. One, two, you know. He says, Abraham, listen to me. If you can count them, so shall your descendants be. What did Abraham believe? So shall your descendants be. And God accounted it unto him as righteousness. In other words, he justified him. Man, I listen, I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Not only that, it says, and now him to him who works, you want to earn your salvation? Listen, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, if you clean something here and you get paid for it, you earned it, okay? He says, but to him who does not work, in other words, there's no effort, you just stop, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. It can't be justification by works and justification by faith. They're totally opposite. It doesn't work that way. If salvation, right standing with God, can be achieved in your own human merit, your own strength, if you can earn it, it was absolutely unnecessary for Jesus to be born on this planet and to suffer the horror of the cross and die. Amen? Yes, it would be unnecessary. So the Judaizers, what did they do? They changed. They perverted the truth of the gospel. They denied that the grace of God was sufficient. In other words, to save you. They insisted on Jesus plus the law. Now listen carefully. I know that today in the world that we live in, it's natural for many people to just believe, well, the way, if there is a God, the way to be saved, you know, is really, I'm just going to try to be a good person. I'm going to try to be honest and all the rest of it. You know, that's called a system of works. Under a system of works, loved one, if you want to work your way to heaven, that means that everything depends on you. Does that make sense? But under the system of grace, everything depends on Jesus. I'm going to take that one, okay? Everything depends upon him. That's why Paul says, for I now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still, meaning he evidently used to, for if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant or a slave, if you will. A bondservant is a person's will is now swallowed up into the will of another, meaning Christ Jesus. I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. If you haven't heard anything I've said thus far, and I'm not saying that in the mean way, I beg you to hear what I'm going to say now. You know, faithful teaching is not very popular. Faithful proclamation of God's word is not very popular. It wasn't popular then, and it's not popular today at all. You see, Paul's heart was to win others to Christ Jesus, without a doubt, but he was not worried about winning man's approval, was he? No, and neither should we be at all. Listen, his heart was consumed with only one individual, Jesus Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. That scripture should burn in our hearts. Loved one, you can't please God and man. You can only please one or the other. Do you know that? We live for the Lord. He purchased us. We're his body. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Listen, the Bible tells us about Paul here in this great epistle. He didn't practice tolerance, and that is forced on us. You can't watch the news. You can't read the newspaper. You can't even have a conversation. You shouldn't be saying that, or this is wrong. Who are you to judge? And all the rest of it. Loved one, it's a crazy time that we live in. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, we know, it's a fact, we know, we've experienced it, we know we're of God, and that the whole world, this present evil world, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Mankind, all of us, we were all born as sinners, weren't we? We were all born fallen. We were born dead in trespasses and sins, and we were all born in Adam. And whenever you're born in Adam and you come into this life and you're not a believer, you know what you're born as? You're desiring independence from God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. I can rule my own life. You know, I know you told me not to eat that fruit, but you know what? If I eat it, I'm going to be like you. What's wrong with that? He says, here, eat it. Yes, come on, Adam, take a bite too. We're going to be like God. What's wrong with being like God? I mean, good grief, there was only one stinking tree in the whole garden you didn't have to eat out of, but you ate out of it. Do you understand? Oh, I look at all of that, and you know, they want independence. People, you know, they don't believe that they're dependent upon the wicked one, but they are because they're right in the arms of him. They're in the sway of him. Listen, there is only one true gospel. There is only one true Savior. And I know that when I say things like that, sometimes I get emails, sometimes I get letters from unbelievers, and they go, you know, are you a bigot? No, I'm not a bigot. Well, one gospel, one man 2,000 years ago on some hill that nobody knows about paid for the sins of the world. And if I don't believe in him, I'm going to go to hell. What? Come on. Oh, you got to be kidding. I'm a little bit more mature and intelligent than that. You're narrow-minded, Bill. You're a bigot. I hear that all the time. Why? Because when you live in this present world, which is evil, that's what they say. Do you understand me? That's what they say. Loved one, we live in a time. If someone had said it in my first pastorate all those years ago, the first church I pastored, if they said, Bill, when you reach 45 years of age, like I am today, you know, that's not true. I could tell the front row was going, is he really 45? That I would be talking about the things that are happening today, I would have said, I don't think so. There's no way these things could be happening in the world or even our nation. But here's the problem. We live in a present evil time. We live in a time where a world that is now out of control. God knew it. It's going to happen, but it is out of control. It's living in massive confusion. We even live in an evil nation. Why? We live in a time like never before when people in the church want to pervert, they want to change, they want to remove the gospel, the good news, the truth of the gospel. Now listen to me. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is silenced, if it is removed, there's no hope. There's no life. Do you understand me? Oh, loved one, if there's no grace, there's no power to change. Do you understand me? There's no right, there is no wrong. Every person, and I know you know this, but listen to me, every person in the world right this minute, they are either in Adam all die, or either they are in Christ, and in Christ they will all be made alive. And there is only, this is not bigoted, this is not narrow-minded, there is only, the truth of the gospel says there is only one way out of the Adam's family, okay? One way out of sin, one way out of death and hell. And that's the truth of the gospel, and there is no other way but Jesus Christ. None, absolutely none. And there's nothing the world can do about it. They can't change that fact. Now listen to me. And there is only, I say this with tremendous love, There is only in this world, you're in Adam or in Christ, but there's only male or female. Do you understand me? You cannot birth a transgender. Do you understand that? Bill, you go, you're in trouble. No, I love people. I love people, all people. So do I tolerate it and say, oh, well, you know, whatever you think, and I don't know. And no, I'm telling you that your eternal destiny is at stake. Forever is a long time. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen, there is only male or female. You can't birth a transgender. Only this present evil age can birth a transgender. Do you understand that? Not only that, I say this, and listen, there is no such thing as LGBTQTWXYZ. No, wait a minute. Before anyone says on the radio, you're going to call me or you're listening live across the nation and around the world. I know you are. I love you. But listen to me. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not racist. I love every person. I love people. I only want to see people in Christ Jesus. Amen. I know what it is to be a horrible sinner. I don't want to live like that. I look and I say, oh God, listen, there's no such thing as LGBT, all the rest of it. Why? Only this present evil age can create or birth that. Does that make sense? Whenever a person, it wasn't very long ago, I got a radio listener call me, and they're a truck driver, and they listen to me wherever they are, and I guess wherever it's on the air. He says, can I talk to you? I said, of course. He says, I have a major problem. I said, okay. And I thought he was going to talk to me about being gone from his family because he drives truck across the nation and so forth. And he says, I'm a man who became a woman. I said, okay. He said, I want Jesus to save me, but he can't save me now, can he? I said, what? He said, I've destroyed my body. I know what I've done. He says, there's no way God, he looks at me. I'm not a man. I'm no woman. I'm this. And I said, you wait. And don't you ever forget what I'm about to tell you. God does not look upon the appearance of man. He looks upon the heart. I led him to Christ Jesus. He prayed the prayer, was born again. He contacted me 3 months later. Amen. Listen, that is called the gospel of grace, the grace of Christ, the unmerited favor. You can't get, I need grace. I need grace every minute, every hour. Do you understand? I need to be, I can't live without God's grace. I will fall apart. Romans 5:2. We stand in the grace, the unmerited, unchanging, undeserved, unearned grace of the living God 24/7. I can't survive without God's grace. The world needs God's grace, loved one. No, listen, when they say, well, I was born gay, I go, okay, or God created this, and I always say, okay, I love you, but listen to me. Stop it. If you want to be gay, be gay. But don't you blame my Father in heaven for it. Don't you say that God created you that way. Why? Because you need to blame the right party. You need to blame sin. Do you understand me? You need to blame sin. Don't blame God. You were born in sin. And do you know what sin births? Sin, man, you can get pregnant with sin and it's gonna birth something. Did you know that? See, it says you were born in sin. Sin births murderers. There's people in this city right now. They're planning to kill somebody today. Do you hear me? They're planning it. Why? Sin. See, sin births adulterers. Not God. Sin is what births fornicators. You want to know why people sell children into sex trafficking? Sin. God didn't create anyone like that. God doesn't create pedophiles. No, God doesn't do that. Prove that to me, Bill. Damn, let me look. You like that? I like to prove God's word, don't you? Let me read it to you. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one in every generation, everyone, loved one, each one is tempted when? Well, when he's drawn away by his own desires, his own lust, and enticed. In other words, you take the bait. Well, I think I might be this or this. Okay, don't take the bait. Satan is a blinder of minds, the mental blindness. Don't let him do that. He appears as an angel of light. You got to, the lost, they don't know that. Oh, he's tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires, enticed. And then when desire has conceived, or literally it gives birth, to sin. Sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It's sin. God doesn't create people that way. It's sin. And the only way we can get out of sin is grace. Do you understand? For it is by grace you are saved. Through faith. Not of yourselves. Lest anyone should boast. Oh, loved one, listen to me. You're in Adam or you're in Christ. There is only heaven, there is and hell. That's it. There's nothing else after it's all over with. There are no other gods. None. None. There's only one Savior. There's only one God the Father. There's only one who died for the sins of the world. Do you understand? No one else. If you are in Adam, say you're here today, you're lost, you are listening live. Listen to me now. If you are in Adam, you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You're alive physically, but dead spiritually. If you are in Adam, you're in sin. Listen to me now. Maybe you're a Christian this morning. But there is someone trying to pervert the gospel in your thinking, usually the devil. I'm this way. I'm gay, or I'm this, or I'm not a little boy, I'm a little girl. No, wait a minute. See, in Adam, sin. And sin will take a person to the very lowest depth. That's what sin does. The lowest place of darkness. Loved one, the Bible says sin is lawlessness without any law. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I can do what I want. I can think what I want. I can believe what I want. Yes, you can. But it's going to lead you someplace. Sin has pleasure only for a season. Only for a season, and then comes the horror, the bondage of it. Listen to me now. If anyone today, we're so messed up in this world, if you pervert and change the gospel of grace, there's absolutely no hope for the sinner. Do you understand? Because there's no other way. There's absolutely no other way. Why is there such evil in this world? Adam, you rebelled against God. The moment he walked out of that garden, in his lineage, in his loins, all of us were there. And we all sinned with him. We all die because of what he did. Loved one, listen. I look at that and I say, oh God, help us. We live in an evil, present, sinful, horrible world. And sin will do anything. That's what sin will do. Sin will do anything. Why? Because sin has no limits. Well, Bill, that's pretty tough. No, listen to me. One day we're going to be removed from this planet, and he who is restraining, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, is going to be not with removed, but back withdrawn. And when that happens, sin will be like you have never seen. We're on our way there right this minute. The world that we are living in. Loved one, that is the truth of the gospel. There is only one gospel. There is only one Savior that gave himself for our sins. And there is only one way to be saved. You must receive God's free gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ. When the jailer, I know it's time to go, we're leaving, don't worry. When the jailer there, Paul and Silas, in that dungeon, that prison, beaten, bloody, the earthquake as they were singing, remember? The jailer comes up in Acts 16, I think it's verse 31, I remember. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, would you listen to me now? You need to tell the lost. If you're lost, you need to listen to me. This is such a vital, because see, most people don't really understand that Satan has a gospel. Did you know that? Oh yeah, Satan has a gospel. You know what it is? His gospel offers anyone in any generation a way of life without any need, without any relationship to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. There is a way, the Bible says, that seemeth right unto man, but it leads only to death. If you are a Christian, and I know many, come on, but if you're in sin, you're trying to earn God's love, you're trying to earn God's favor, you need to repent right this minute. You need to stop right now and say, God, forgive me. I'm running to the unchangeable, unmerited, unearned, unconditional, divine favor of the living God. Amen. And if you sin, go, oh, I can go right now. I confess my sins. Lord, I confess them right now. You are faithful and just to forgive me when I do those things and cleanse me from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, I'm clean. My sins are far as the east is from the west. Oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from this body of death? Listen, every day this body of death, sin, the old man, Adam, he wants to run me. He wants to rule me. You have to set him down and say, uh-uh. There's a new law working in me. The spirit of life is working in me. The spirit of Christ is working in me. I walk in the grace of God. I'm not under the law and will never be under the law. Amen. I'm not talking about the moral law, the Ten Commandments. We're all under that. No. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm a child of God. But you know what? If you're not saved, you need to come to him. It's free. You just come. You just say, Jesus, Father, save me. Come live in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. That's it. He will change you if you believe. He will change you. You can't change. You can't clean up your mess. You can't clean up your sin. You can't be pleasing to God unless you're in Christ Jesus. And when you come to God and say, Lord, be my Lord. You know, Jesus, be my Lord. You know what God, Jesus, what God does? He imputes into your account. Impute means something that belongs to another. He imputes into your account the perfect, spotless, sinless righteousness and record of Christ Jesus. And he goes, now you're in him. You now are walking in his righteousness, not yours. Jesus's righteousness never changes. Amen. Father, we praise you. We thank you right now as every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I pray for those that may not know you this morning. Oh, Father, help me right now to reach their hearts through your power. If you're here this morning, loved one, and you don't know Jesus as Lord, I want you to know that I love you, and I'm glad you're here. There's no stones at this altar. I don't stone people to death, and I don't judge people. I just love people. But if you don't know Jesus, I have to tell you, you're going to go to a place called hell. I don't want you to go there. Jesus doesn't want you to go there. He died for you. You have to just come to him. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus had paid your sin debt. I said, well, Bill, what do I do? Why don't you just stay in your chair but just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I want to make today, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If you're feeling a tug on your heart, loved one, just lift your hand. No one's going to come to your chair. No one's going to drag you to the altar. The altar will not save you. But if you'll just lift it high and put it right back down, I'll pray for you. That's all I'm requesting. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else said, Bill, that's me. God bless you, sir. I see that. God bless you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus. I want him to really be the Lord of my life. Last call. Anyone else, please lift it high if that's you. Please don't fight God. God bless you. I love you. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. That's me. I want you to listen carefully now. Every head bowed. And Christians, please be praying right now. Pray. If you're here and your mind has been telling you that I feel like I'm a homosexual or a lesbian. I feel like I'm really gay. I haven't done that, but I just feel it. I feel like I'm drawn to that. I want you to, as every head is bowed, no one looking, if that's you, please, in Jesus' name, I beg you, lift your hand and say, pray for me. I'm telling you, and God will touch you right now if you will do that. Just be faithful and do that right now. Anyone, quickly. Those who lifted their hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Father, church, help me. Say it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to the throne of grace where I can find mercy and obtain help in time of need. I want you to save me. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Jesus is alive. You said if I would believe that, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Well, Lord, there's no one like you. No one. What an honor and a privilege to proclaim your word, to proclaim your grace. What an honor it is to hear it, to receive it. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I love you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. And we give you the glory. For that is the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.